Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Logic of Soul Talk. My name is Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this exciting weekly talk radio program where I get to interview the best, brightest, and most creative people in the world, mainly about some of the turning points in their lives and what brought them to their success. As a chiropractor for many years, I discovered that most people, including myself, have an underlying pattern of what I call hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, and even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our motivation and even our destiny. And quite by accident, many years ago, I discovered that I could access and change these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. And you can get more information on my discoveries, case studies, and more at logicalsoul.com and www.logicalsoul.com/blog. Now, the guests on my show were selected not because they're familiar with my work, in fact, many aren't, but because they have obviously made some strong decisions in their own lives that led them to current success in life. And my goal in having them on this show is to probe a little bit and discover their pattern of life decisions. And this will allow you, as my listeners, to maybe pick up some special nuggets that will add to your own motivation and nourish your own seeds of success. And listen to the show with an open mind if you have any questions. After about 10 or 15 minutes, I invite you to call in with your comments and questions. Our number is area code 347-843-4544. That's 347-843-4544, or you might be able to use the internet if you have headphones set. I believe there's a button to push and talk. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't, so I'm just going to leave it at that. Now, our guest this evening is Ms. Jean Graves. She was a successful lawyer who suffered a horrendous car accident in 1996 that left her mostly paralyzed for about 10 years, and it was during this time that she started using the internet as a serious way to make money to pay for some of her huge medical bills. And apparently she became very successful. Ms. Graves is now known as the JV Queen because she's organized some of the biggest joint venture product launches on the internet with such experts as Sean Casey, Willie Crawford, and many more. Now these days, and I'm going to ask her specifically, Gina is the founder and dean of Directions University, that's www.directionsu.com, and creator of the 30-day IM challenge that helps folks with both online and offline businesses actually make money. Concept. What a concept. Using online tools like blogging and list building. She also has her own Blog Talk radio program on Tuesday, I believe. So check it out. So whether the internet is your primary focus or you just want to promote your existing business, stay tuned. Ms. Graves has the answers. Now, during today's interview, I'll also be asking Gina about some of the turning points in her life, a little bit more about her accident and what happened afterwards and the decisions that came from that, the critical people and decisions in her life, and about her new program called The Miracle Motivator. If we have time, I'll also try to squeeze in little-known trade secrets out of her as well and open the lines to questions. We have some people on the line that want to ask questions. So greetings, Gina. I'm glad to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, I can hear you.
My wife, Soma, sends you and her husband, Bill, her blessings and good wishes, and she was so happy to meet you that night. And I was so glad you could come to share a meal with us one night.
Well, thank you so much for having us. It was a wonderful meal. We really enjoyed it.
Well, I have to thank you because we did too. The feeling was definitely mutual.
Now, are we going to see you this weekend too?
Are we going to see you? Are you going to be there this weekend?
I am. I'm speaking on Sunday.
Oh, that's right. Well, I guess we'll see you then. And I guess
awesome.
We might have to have a dinner date.
There you go.
Excellent, excellent. Now, I got to ask you, when I first heard you speak, you mentioned that you almost died. So how did you go from almost leaving us to becoming a very much alive woman I'm speaking to today whose life mission is to help 1 million entrepreneurs learn to live the life of their dreams by the year 2013, I believe. That's on your blog.
It is. Well, I had spent about 10 years in a hospital bed and wheelchair after this car accident. The car accident had really done some massive damage to my back, and the first back surgery gave me one of those super bugs, you know, those incurable infections that they talk about on the news. Well, that was me.
Oh, yeah.
By January of 2005, the doctors gave me 12 to 18 months to live, and I wasn't good with that at the age of 40. So I asked my husband if we could get an RV so that we could travel the country so that I could see some things before I died. He went into work the next day. He quit his job, went and found an RV that he could put all of my medical equipment in, and we hit the road for what we thought would be about an 8 to 10-month trip. Well, about 6 months later, we found ourselves in Sedona, Arizona, and I was going downhill a little faster than we had originally expected. By then, it didn't look like we'd even get the full 8 to 10 months that we had planned on, and it was my 41st birthday. He wanted me to have the best last birthday that I could, so he took me to a massage therapist just to help with the pain. And I get up on our table, and she takes one look, and she says, "You know, you're not going to die as soon as you think." And I'm like, "Yeah, right. How much is this going to cost me?" Because she didn't know me from Adam. I assumed she was selling me something. But she wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
She went on to explain that I wouldn't die as soon as I thought if I could just remove the negativity from my life. But, you know, I was one of those positive people. I was so positive, I was even planning my funeral with a smile on my face. She explained that it wasn't just a positive mental attitude that was needed. It was my entire life needed to be free of negativity. I kind of thought about that and went, not quite sure what she means here. Maybe she's just one of those weird people. But I really took it to heart, and we were at the Grand Canyon a couple days later. When I saw the majestic views, something just snapped inside, and I said, you know, I've got to look into this more. She's got something there. I've tried everything else. Why not try one more thing? So over the next 4.5 months, I researched what she meant by this. How could you remove the negativity in your life and have it save your life? It didn't make sense to me. But as I learned more about it and I started trying different things, little things at first, like turning the news off. I used to watch CNN 24/7 even when I was sleeping, not very positive. Then I tried a few bigger things, like finding the people in my life who were the glass half empty instead of the glass half full kind of folks, especially my mom. Mom's a great lady, but she's definitely a glass-half-empty kind of person. She could find $1 million in the lottery and find a million reasons that that's a bad thing. So I picked up the phone, called her, and said, "Mom, I'm going to try something. I can give you two choices. You can try it with me, or I don't know when, if ever, I'll be able to talk to you again." Probably the single hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. But I knew that if I was going to really make a go of this, I had to do it. Well, as I made these little baby shifts, over the next 4.5 months, I went from a wheelchair to a walker, from a walker to a cane, to walking with no assistance at all, even though to this day, if you went and did the neurological testing, there is no feeling in my legs and feet at all. Today, I walk unassisted. I lost 68 pounds without going on a diet. I had been bald on the top of my head. I now have a full head of hair. And by the end of this 4.5 month period, not only was I no longer dying, I was completely well. And it was at that time that we learned that my dad had esophageal cancer, and he lives in Chicago with my mom. He had taken care of me for years during my illness, and I wanted to take care of him because we didn't know if he was going to make it. So we headed up to Chicago. We stayed with those guys while he was in the hospital having his esophagus and half of his stomach removed, and we lived with them for about 8 weeks. And every single week, I got a little sicker and a little sicker and a little sicker still. And by the end of the 8 weeks, I was so sick, I couldn't walk again. I was using a walker and quickly looked like I was going to be back in a wheelchair. And my husband, Bill, took me out for dinner one night, and he looks at me and he goes, "You idiot." I'm like, "Okay, now why are you calling me names?" And I start crying, and I'm like, "Honey, I'm so sorry. I knew this was too good to be true. The doctors were right all along. I guess I really am sick, and I guess I really am dying." And he's like, "You don't see it, do you?" And I didn't. He said, "It's all the negativity." And sure enough, he was right. So he gave me about an hour to say goodbye, pack up everything, and head back out on the road in the RV. Within 2 weeks, I was totally well again, walking unassisted again, and that was about 3.5, almost 4 years ago. So it was really a mindset shift that caused this miraculous transformation to take place. It was not something that I popped a pill for or took another shot for. When I first started this, I was taking 42 pills per day and 4 continuous IVs per day, and I just stopped all of them without telling the doctors or anything else. It was kind of like every time I'd take a pill, I was reinforcing, you're sick, take a pill. You're sick, take
right.
a pill.
Right.
And, you know, 5 days a week I was taking blood tests that I would draw myself, and Bill would take them to the labs because that's what the doctor said I needed to do. And every time we'd get the test back, I was a little sicker still. Since then, I don't even like to have my blood tested. I don't need it. I know I'm well. If my doctor wants to test it, great, but don't bother telling me what the results say, because I know I'm well. And the more I know it, the more it is true.
Yeah, that's so true. I really admire you, Jeannie. You're like a living barometer for mental health and the relationship with the mind-body. That's fantastic. I mean, it's a curse and a blessing all at the same time, right?
It is, and the mind-body connection is so strong. And sure, I did this to overcome a life-threatening illness and to overcome not being able to walk, but it works the same way in any area of your life. You're struggling financially? Okay, same things apply. It doesn't matter whether it's physical, whether it's financial. Every aspect of your life can be affected in the same way.
Yeah. Yes, I noticed that, and I got to admit, a lot of people aren't quite as sensitive as you are as far as the changes that you notice so drastically. I do notice, however, from working with a lot of people on this type of issues using the techniques that I use, that there are these hidden decisions, and even though they may not be conscious of them, like with your mother, you had a hidden decision to, you know, that if I'm to be of service, I have to suffer, something like that. I don't know what
yes.
would be the situation there, but there's a decision, obviously, that when you're negative people, it brings you down, and there's something that affects you physically. This is actually a very dramatic demonstration of how these hidden decisions and how these subconscious patterns can run your life, and how, you know, and also how you can affect them, how you can change them. A lot of people, however, don't have access, like you do, a direct barometer, a direct measuring tool to discover, you know, what it is exactly I need to change in order to affect my life. Some people are just sort of going blindly. At least you have that tool called help.
I initially, it really was something that required me to sit down and take an inventory. So
right.
I started by looking at the things that I was doing every day. Where is negativity creeping into my life from them? The news is obviously not very positive. So that's obviously one thing to get rid of quickly. Then I started looking at other things that I could control, like my language. So I don't use words like problems very often, unless I'm really, I don't like using problems because they are negative. I might talk about challenges. Challenges to me are a small hurdle that you can jump over, where problems are more like a brick wall standing right in front of your face. Then I started looking at the other things that I couldn't control. And one of the things most people don't remember or recognize is you can't change someone else, so don't even try. The only thing that you control is your own actions. So if
right.
you are in a relationship with someone, or you have someone close to you who is negative, and look at it as, do they look at life with a glass half full or a glass half empty attitude? That's kind of an easy measuring stick.
Right,
if you
exactly.
are in relationships with negative people, the only thing you can control is yourself. You've got to make a conscious decision to remove that from your life if you really want to try this it for yourself. And so I walk through that kind of inventory, made my list, and then each day sat down and tried to find one more thing that I could really shift in my own daily life. And as I did that, one of the things that became very essential for me was visualization. I learned a trick about visualization from the massage therapist, and it's one that I find very interesting even today. I had used visualization quite extensively throughout my entire illness. I had been to pain management clinics, I had been to hypnotherapists, I had been to all these different professionals. And they all told me that if I wanted to walk again, all I had to do was visualizations and I could get up out of the wheelchair and walk. Well, it never worked. I was still sick. Mm-hmm. I was still dying. I was still sitting in a wheelchair. And this massage therapist looked at me and she said, "It won't work." And I said, mm-hmm. "Well, why does everybody else say it will?" She said, "Well, it won't work the way you're doing it." And I said, "Why not?" She says, "Well, you're picturing yourself starting out in a wheelchair. You're helpless. You can't mm-hmm. walk. How do you expect to go from that negative situation to a positive one? If you start with a negative, you attract more of the same thing. And so you get sicker, and you can't walk even more." That made a lot of sense to me. So what she said was, you instead need to imagine that at each point in your life where something major or tragic happened, that you had a crossroads, and that part of your energy or part of you went one way and passed through that crossroads, and the other went a different direction, never having to go through it at all. And if you can work your way backwards through your life to find each of these major life events, you could eventually find that energy of you that never had any of the negative things happen in the first place. For me, that meant going all the way back to around the age of 16-ish. As it turned out, because of the negativity that I had all throughout my life, because one of my biggest sources was my mom, I was really sick growing up. I had strep throat 22 times before I was 19. I had fibromyalgia in my early 20s coupled with chronic fatigue syndrome. So I had to go way back there to find that point before which I was really a well Gina. And if I looked at what that energy of me would look like today, never having had to go through any of the other life events that I had experienced, I could then imagine what that Gina would be doing and what she would look like and how she would be acting. And at that point, I could either choose to bring that energy into my current reality or take my current reality and shift it into that Gina, whichever way you wanted to do it. And the massage therapist said if I could do that, then I could put myself into the position of being whole and walking again. So she suggested that I do this kind of visualization twice a day. Once in the morning as I just woke up and once in the evening as I just fell asleep, because she thought it was the time of the day during which your subconscious and your conscious minds were closest together. So each time I would start by doing a head-to-toe inventory, and I would start at the top of my head, check in at each body part, be grateful for how healthy they were, how vibrant they were, and how wonderful they felt. Whether they did or not was irrelevant. Still be grateful for it. And I'd go all the way down and then come all the way back up. And as I'd come all the way back up, I would start imagining this glorious life that this other Gina would be living right then. And each time I did it, I would try a little harder to shift one reality into the other. And it honestly only took a matter of a couple of weeks. Every single time I did this kind of work, I would notice huge differences. One day, all of a sudden, my toes are twitching, and I couldn't twitch my toes for anything a couple of days before, but all of a sudden, my toes are moving pretty much on command. And then my legs are lifting off the bed pretty much on command. Within a week, I just put my legs over the side of the bed and stood right up and never fell down. And shoot, if I can stand up, then I should be able to take a step, right? And it was only a matter of a couple of weeks until these huge miraculous changes took place. So it was definitely work. Even today, I still do work with an energy specialist on a regular basis, simply because there is a lot of structural damage that was done in my back. And my back structurally is very different than a normal person. So I overcome the pain that can be associated with it by doing energy work. And it really makes a huge difference. It makes a difference in just the strength of my mindset, and even in the things like the law of attraction and manifestation and whatnot, and in terms of the success in my life. And the more I have done that, the more successful I have become. So it was a combination, I think, of using the visualization and the strength of the mindset and the positivity, coupled with a system I had created way back in third grade for goal setting. As an attorney, I'm really more of a strategist. I'm a very logical person. And way early in my life, I had always been very goal-oriented, but in kind of a different way. No one ever taught me goal setting. I just kind of figured it out. And for me, the way I've always done goal setting is I start with my long-term outcome. So 3 to 5 years from now, what do I want? What does that look like? And I use that to break it down into smaller pieces to plan a path to get there. And that's the way I've always done my goal setting. And so I use that through this visualization process and the mindset component to really achieve what it was that I was looking for.
It was really fascinating where when you, I mean, the parallels between what you're doing and the work that I do, Logical Soul, is striking. And I'm fascinated by something you said where you went back in your life to the time where there was a split between the well Gina and the sick Gina. How did you discover that? I guess you just sort of found out when did you first started feeling sick, or when did you first started making a decision? Decision made for you that you were sick somewhere. And
precisely.
That turned out to be age 16, you said?
Okay. It was right around 15 to 16, right around that time. Shortly thereafter, I started having symptoms that were really fibromyalgia that I would not learn about for another 5 years, but the symptoms started showing up roughly around that time. So I just kept going back 1 year at a time, and luckily, because of my goal-setting journals, had a record that I could go in and look at, okay, what did I do that year? Okay, what did I do that year? To be able to help remember where that was in my life. And that tended to be a really clear line of demarcation. Before that, I had really done fairly well physically. After that, things weren't so great.
Fascinating.
And that really helped a lot to identify it.
What did you discover as being, because usually when a decision changes like that, I call them hidden decisions, usually as adults, I call them hidden decisions or archetypal decisions, because they're decisions that sort of get made in the spur of the moment with an extreme amount of emotion attached to it, and that's how they get sort of lodged in the subconscious. Was there anything particularly emotional about that particular time that you made that decision to be sick, or that you maybe took somebody else's decision on? Do you remember what the incident was?
Back when I was at 16, you mean?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes, there was. Boy, it's funny that you should say that, because no one's ever told me that before, but there sure was a decision. I had always excelled in math at school. And when I was in seventh grade, I had worked ahead in my studies so that by the time I got into freshman year of high school, I only had one semester of calculus that I could take and otherwise would have finished my math classes. So my high school, I went to an all-girls Catholic high school in Chicago. They decided that they would get me accepted into a local college so that I could continue my math throughout my high school years. Well, by the time I was in my junior year, I had enough high school credits to graduate from high school at the end of junior year. So I applied to Notre Dame junior year so that at the end of that year, I would be able to leave school a year early and go on to college. My mom and dad had decided about 3 weeks before graduation that they were not good with their little girl going off to school a year early, and they refused to sign the permission slip. From that moment forward, everything in life changed. I couldn't go to college. My class ring had that year on it. I was done with all the classes I could possibly take in high school. All I had left were electives. I was 3 credit hours away from getting my associate's degree, even though I was still in high school, and they wouldn't let me go on. And so about 6 months later, I used to play Sunday mass at church, I would play guitar. I went to church one morning, or so I said, and I left my guitar in my closet, packed my guitar case up with my clothes, and never came home. And I've not lived at home
wow.
since then. I was 17 at the time. And it was really because my parents were very, very strict. They were Italian, Roman Catholic. And, I mean, in my family, you didn't wear black when you were younger. I couldn't wear black till I was 18 of any sort because that's what bad ladies wore. Don't ask me why, but that's what my mother used to say. And I felt like my whole life was being held back by them, and I wasn't good with that. So, yeah, it was a very emotional time.
Was emotional, and the decision somehow was that I choose to die. If I can't do what I want, I'm going to... It's all sort of like, because you're so intelligent, because you're very logical, it's like an all-or-nothing decision. If I can't have what I
want,
I'll just die. Yeah.
And as it turned out, the following year, I couldn't get into Notre Dame. Just by coincidence, that particular year turned out to be the year that they put an on-campus housing requirement in place for everyone, and they only had enough housing for 200 women. So junior year, they took 1,200 women. Senior year, they took 200 women. While I graduated second in my class, I was salutatorian in high school, I didn't get in senior year, even though I had a partial scholarship junior year. So it literally changed everything about my life because of that.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, thank you so much for sharing. That's a very powerful shift in your life, and apparently it continues to this day. We've got a couple of minutes here, maybe time for one question. I noticed a couple of callers online. If you have a question, just press 1 and raise your hand. Well, I've got a call. I believe this is Soma. You're on the line. You're on the air, rather.
Hi, Tina. How are you? This is Soma.
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good, but thank you so much for sharing your story. It's really totally fascinating. I wonder, have you ever forgiven your parents for that?
You know, that's a really neat question. Yes, I have. In fact, that was one of the things that the energy specialist I work with today really helped me work through about 3.5-4 years ago, shortly after the transformation. He said that, you know, that he saw as being really an important thing to do, because otherwise he was afraid that my illnesses would keep manifesting themselves over and over again. And it was definitely something that I really, it was not the easiest thing in the world to work through. But, yes, I have.
Right. Really,
well, thanks
I
for
mean,
your question. We've only got a few seconds here to go. So thanks for your call. I'm going to have to hang up. I'm sorry for that. Gina, thank you so much for joining us. Well, I want to send you a copy of my book, by the way, The Logical Soul, and I'd love to.
I would love it. Thank you so much.
And I'll probably see you this weekend if that's the case. So, at any rate, we've got maybe a few more, about one more minute here. And let me just say who we're going to have on the show next week, and then we'll have a couple of minutes after the show, after the music strikes, and after the show, where we can have some outtake time. And ask a few more questions if you like.
And okay.
You can just hang on there. Next week we're going to have Terry Peterson. He calls himself the Unigeezer because he's over 50 years old, rides a unicycle. He's out in California, and he's a unicycle rider. He rides through the off-roads. He goes into trails and off-roads and stuff like that. I'm going to have him on the show next week, next Tuesday at 6. Reason why I find this fascinating is because I also ride a unicycle, and we're going to talk shop a little bit. So join us next week on Logical Soul Talk at 6 p.m., where I'll have Terry Peterson, the Unigeezer, as an interviewee, and we'll talk shop a little bit. I also want to give my guest, Gina Gaudio-Graves, a plug here. Gina, you want to tell people about your website again, or about what is about this Miracle Motivator? We've just got about a half a minute here. Go ahead and
I have a
shoot.
Program called the Miracle Motivational Package, which basically walks you through exactly what I did to create this miraculous transformation, including a special goal-setting package. And you'll find it at www.abundantpositivity.com.
Thank you so much, Gina. I'm Dr. Michael Craig with Logical Soul. Okay, sorry about that. We've got outtake time. You can talk. It's not streaming, but it will be on the recording afterwards, available afterwards, that you can use the MP3. So,
well, fantastic.
Soma, I'm sorry I cut you off. Did you have another question for Gina?
I actually had another comment for Soma, if that's okay.
Wait a minute. Is she there? Are you there, Soma? Hello? Well, that's not Soma. Okay. Never mind.
You can tell her this anyway because it's very interesting.
Okay.
One of the things that I used to notice was that my parents, more than anyone else in my life, used to have triggers that could trigger me emotionally. And when they would do, you know, they just had this way about them that could really get at me. That's what I'm basically saying. It would cause a headache.
They
do. Well, one of the big things that really made a difference for me when I forgave them was I also did some visualizations at that time that imagined that I had a button that was sticking out in front of me that was the trigger that they could push. And they were pretty much the only people that could push that button and cause a reaction. So part of forgiving them also meant doing away with the button or finding a way that no one would ever again be able to push my buttons. That one single exercise has probably allowed me a more positive attitude than anything else I've ever done. And it really does make a huge difference in interacting with other people to not be walking through life with a button anymore. And all of us have those buttons. And it's a process that you've got to go through to be able to either shield it or remove it.
Right. Yeah, we have similar processes in the Logical Soul. I'd be interested in learning what you're doing. Sounds fascinating, Gina. I look forward to meeting you again this weekend, and let's get together, okay?
I will definitely make a point of it.
Absolutely. It should be fun.
It should be a lot of fun.
I look forward to hearing you.
I'm bringing a friend of mine, David Preston, with me from here in Charleston, South Carolina, and we'll be down at Joey's all day Saturday and Sunday. I think we come back up here on Monday, but I'm sure we'll see you on Saturday when we get there.
Absolutely. I'll be there pretty much all weekend, so I look forward to it.
Wonderful.
Gina,
so we'll see you then.
Thank you so much
for having me. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.